Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm your host, Bree.
And I'm the other host, Abby.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. We could say it together this time because we are together.
Oh, we are together, everyone. And also apologize right off the bat if our audio sounds a little echoey. You know,
we're just using one microphone today.
We're feeling nostalgic and going back to our original vibes. So this is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. If this is your first time listening, normally we do like a deep dive into all the episodes. We just finished up season 11. In the current day and age, we're in season 17, and we thought just for a little bit, just ignore Marge licking her paw in the background, that we would do our reactions to some of these new episodes. So today we are reacting to season 17, episode 13, Good as Hell.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. But before we get there, we're Grey's Anatomy Podcast. You already said all that. If you want to support us, you can at Patreon, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or attending, and usually you get a lot of fun things. We're doing things a little different right now, doing these random episodes to fill some time.
We always tell our patrons, like, if in this month maybe you just need to drop back down to that $2 so you can stay in the Facebook group, we totally understand. We are just getting our lives back together. I would like to say a little thing that we announced on Instagram that my dog had surgery, and you all were very, very kind and said a lot of really loving messages. So update as of today, which might be a few days late, he's doing okay. He had leg amputation. And so we have just been busy. And we, family comes above the podcast, and we thank you for understanding that. And as always, like, you can support us. This money is always going towards still putting out episodes, but we totally understand if, you know, if you're upset that we didn't put out an episode last week, like, to each their own, our friends. But we love having you here, and our Facebook group has been really fun.
So. It has been really fun, and it's fun in these newer seasons watching them live. I'm like really weirded out, like sitting across from you, because like I don't know if I should make eye contact. I've been like looking to the side, but I feel like I don't know how to just have a conversation with you from recording from across.
Yeah, did we used to look at each other in the eye?
I think so. I think we just like forgot about the mic and that we were recording, but I feel really weird right now.
Well, also because when we were doing it at home, I would like not browse the internet, but I'd be able to like look at something while chatting.
Oh, and browse the internet.
No, I said I wasn't browsing the internet, sure. But I would like eat a Cheez-It, put my thing on mute, and oops. Also, I'm not used to sitting at this table. So yeah, we have not recorded in person in I don't know how long.
This is like season one sound quality material. Yes. I feel like we're just going back to
the
basics. Who we truly are. Let's be real.
Wait, can we say that your wedding is coming up?
Like, yeah, we can
real
say that.
Fast. I feel like we have had one celebration already.
The amputation of McCoy's leg.
Yes. In honor of your wedding, we have taken his leg off, and you will be receiving it as a gift. Well, here's a fun question.
Yeah.
How much do you think his leg weighed?
Oh, that is a fun question.
So he weighed 68 pounds. Before
the leg.
What do you think he weighs now?
Well, I can't do that math what he weighs now, but I will do what I think it weighed, and I'm going to say 12 pounds?
I wish. No, I don't know why I wish. It only weighed 8.
Oh, so I wasn't too far off.
No, he weighs 60 pounds now.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
That is really weird.
Also, I went to pick him up, and usually, like, I hook one arm under those back legs, and there was only one. And Riva, our friend, was there and saw me. He almost, like, he's just top heavy now. Oh. Like, he's literally, like, almost fell on his face. I was like, I am so sorry. But he's doing well. We're buying him some time, and he's a tripod, PAWD. It is a community online of people.
People do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's a lot different. I told Brie, I feel like Cali,
right,
and my dog is Arizona. But
it's different.
It's a little different. He has a few others to work with.
Yeah.
And hopefully he does not resent me, eventually divorce me, bring me to court and take our children.
I mean, he's seeming like he is snoozing in the sun. And
if you want updates, if you're invested in dog life, I've been posting a lot to my personal Instagram, which is Abby L. Moore. So feel free to follow along on the McCoy journey there. There's lots of Mick content. Someone said that to me today, and I'm coining it.
That's good.
Yeah. So anyways, that's why we're here now. But your wedding is changing the topic because your wedding is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You have many outfits.
Yeah. They're all in my closet over there. You can see the section that's just white stuff.
Right.
Because usually I just buy black. So I had to buy a whole new wardrobe of blush.
Because you're a virgin.
Yes, because I'm a virgin bride. So.
Her mom got her crotchless panties this weekend.
My mother did buy me crotchless panties, which was kind of shocking. But, I mean, she seemed like it wasn't a big deal. She was like, why wouldn't I get you crotchless panties?
I'm a little jealous because I had never had crotchless panties.
You could buy yourself crotchless panties.
It feels like I would use them to go pee in, though, more than having sex in.
Yeah. Remember how I talked about my Spanx for the wedding day?
Such a frightening.
But I called it a gullet.
Instead of a gusset.
Yeah, the gullet. Yeah, I'm a little nervous about that, though, because I'm afraid I'm going to pee on my dress. Like, pee on my hand or something.
I'll get in there and hold it open.
That would be great. I really appreciate that. I think it's like 18 people to pee on your wedding day.
There is nothing more weird looking than wearing those Spanx and looking down and seeing
your gullet.
Yeah, like, I still remember, I think I was in, like, high school, and my mom let me borrow some Spanx for, like, a dance, and I didn't realize that was there, and, like, until I put them on, and I was like,
yeah.
Well, and I think I wore underwear under
Was
them.
That one? See, this one isn't, like, fully open. Like, it closes.
Right, but you pull it open.
Yeah.
But still, it's just shocking.
Because I remember, like, the bodysuit thing in dance class, where it was, like, open, wasn't it? Yeah, and then it was, like, I don't know. Being a woman is just wild, you know? The things you have to think about. Men just put on trousers and then, like, unzip their pants and pee.
You could just not wear underwear.
No, I need Spanx.
Oh, okay.
I have a very tight dress.
Okay.
I need to shape my body.
But you have a spoiler alert?
No.
You have a reception outfit.
I do have a reception
outfit.
So
you'll be able to, which that's going to be hard to pee in also.
That is also going to be hard to pee in. So, I mean, I just don't think I'm going to pee all day.
Okay.
And then get a really bad bladder infection.
That's perfect.
I'll just be super dehydrated and pass out at the altar mantle.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm. I'll catch you. Jake will catch you and perform CPR. He'll do a full health assessment and that thing where he accidentally touched your boobs.
That sounds perfect. That sounds like a wedding day dream come true.
Just don't lock your knees. You know that from choir concerts.
Oh, yeah. I won't. But I might. But I won't. I'll just be like, someone, I need to sit down.
You sit in the front row.
Mom, Grandma, stand up. I need to sit down.
Would you like me to put, like, two chairs, like, at Catholic churches?
So yeah, so I can take a seat
when I
need to.
The homily of Brie and John, you will sit down.
But we had a great party this weekend.
It was so fun. It once the parent left, the parent, because there
the
was one
parent, my mother.
Then it turned into, like, a preview of The Bachelorette, which is frightening because that's coming up this weekend.
Yeah. I didn't eat enough. I just ate cheese. And so I was really drunk. But it was fun and fine. And I felt it the next day.
I delivered just bagel sandwiches.
Yeah. So I intend on I'll actually eat over the weekend, which The Bachelorette party is this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So this past weekend was a little black dress party, which was great. and I got a bunch of underwear and lingerie. Mm-hmm. And this weekend, we're going to our bachelorette
party. Yeah, I'm so excited to marry you.
It's really exciting.
So I'm sure we'll have stories.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're just going to take the city by storm, the windy city.
It's actually, I hope it's not windy.
I hope so, too.
We have cute outfits.
Yep, I have a lot of white outfits. I bought a really cute cream, like, okay, it doesn't sound cute, but it's like high-waisted shorts and a blazer.
She's running for president.
But it is cute.
President of the country club.
But it is actually really
yes.
cute. I did try on a different blazer where I literally looked like Blanche from the Golden Girls. It was very, very bad. With like a sparkly sequins top underneath, and I was like, this won't.
Your outfits, that kind of reminds me of, what's that movie with like Diane Keaton? Why can't I think of the name? Goldie Hawn. They're dancing in white.
Oh, First Wives Club.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always want to be Goldie Hawn. And I kind of have that outfit.
Right.
I do have white pants and a blazer.
You're her. I think when we were going to dress up as that for Halloween, who were you going to make me be again?
I was going to make you be Diane Keaton, which Diane Keaton is fabulous. I'll be any of them. You know what?
Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Oscars last night?
I didn't because I watch them every single year. But the thing is, I didn't watch any of the movies. And I just felt sad that I was participating in it. And I just feel sad about this year and award shows in general. So I was like, I'm going to skip it.
Nice. There were moments that were really enjoyable. And there were parts that I was like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But there's a couple movies that are now on my list that I was like, I need to actually watch these.
Yes. Yeah. Which I think is great for watching award shows. And then you're like, oh, I didn't know about that one. And it seems very important. But I usually do my due diligence.
I know, you do.
And I just didn't this year. It's too busy.
Yeah.
I'm done with school for the semester. Got a 4-point.
Woo!
What's up?
That probably broke the speaker.
Woo! So yeah, I didn't watch it. But,
it's okay.
You know, there's always next year.
But did you watch Grey's Anatomy?
I did. Yeah. I have thoughts. So I want everyone to know that the way we kind of do these episodes, if this is your first time listening to a reaction one, is we're not going to do them how we usually do, like, when we're recapping the full episode.
Because in 10 years from now, we'll have to do that.
Exactly. So we're just kind of giving our hot takes and feelings. If we miss a storyline or something, so sorry. But we're just going to talk about what we want to talk about. Should we get into it?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something.
Yes. We should talk about our overall feelings.
I watched it twice.
Okay.
Because the first time I was so bored. And I can confirm that I was just as bored the second time and found myself looking at my phone and being like, fuck, I'm supposed to be watching this. Besides the last 90 seconds, I thought it was like, I don't know. I didn't think it was that good.
This was my biggest issue, and I'm like, we're in the Grey's Anatomy Facebook group, which is a ridiculous Facebook group. But like, I see people's posts in that. I see people in the on-call room listener squad. I wanted to feel, okay, like the first time we saw Derek in this season, I felt like I got GGBs. Mm-hmm. It was like he did that smile. He was far away. But as they've shown
Meredith, he did the waving of the hand.
As they've shown more of him, their chemistry is less and less believable.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It's not like because of he looks old. Like that is definitely like a mental thing just because we haven't seen him age on the show. So that's kind of weird. But it's like he forgot how to act or like they forgot how to act together. Or she's just gotten so good that like, or I don't know, but it's just like, I just felt like their chemistry was, I didn't believe it for a second. Even when he was behind her, I didn't get the feeling as like when he was behind her in the elevator in season one or two. You know what I mean? Like I just didn't feel it. And it just felt like he was saying his lines, which I don't, maybe this is more a commentary on Patrick Dempsey, but also it could be on the writing. It could be on something. I don't know.
Well, I also kind of feel like the same thing with Ellen Pompeo, Meredith too. Like, I don't think either of them really gave much in that scene. I don't think it was just Patrick Dempsey. His leg at one point looked purple. It was very scary. I don't know if you saw that. It's like, holy shit, his leg's gonna fall off. But
I liked the things that, if I were reading this as a script, I feel like maybe I would like it. Like, I love that they acknowledged his death and that it was frustrating for him to like know what was happening. Like it was kind of cool. And that he referenced like, you told me to go and that it was okay. And in a way, like I liked the tie-in that he's telling her it's okay to go in a different way. It's like meaning to go live.
Right.
And so there was like writing aspects of it that I thought were okay with their, I'm just talking about Derek and Meredith here, but I just, the way it was executed, it just, I felt nothing. And I'm sad because I feel like seeing them together, I should have, but maybe because it's on a beach in a weird storyline that makes no sense, it doesn't do it for me.
Well, I think so. I think it too. It's funny. A listener of ours, Chris, we messaged that like the part where she's like, have you seen the last 2 years or whatever? And he's like, those were difficult or whatever. And he said that it was very funny to think that in this universe, Derek had to watch Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
Because he has to just sit there and watch Meredith be with Riggs and be with,
DeLuca,
you know.
Yeah.
But I like, I felt something in the end. I agree that it wasn't as believable as them being in the elevator. The part that really got me was him actually walking away.
Yes.
At the end.
Yes.
Like, oh, the part where I started crying is he said, like,
so you cried?
I cried a little bit when he said, Do you want to know like a secret or something? Like, I even missed the pain.
Yes.
That part made me very emotional. And that's when I kind of got teary eyed. It wasn't really about Meredith and Derek. It was just about death and life. And then when he walked away on the beach and looked back smiling, I was like, that is a really sweet moment of, because it also reminded me of when DeLuca walked away with his mom. But like the weird wedding scene, like it didn't feel like Derek and Meredith like didn't have a wedding. They had a post-it. Like why that, not only did that not feel like Meredith, but that did not feel like Derek at all either. And nothing really felt like their characters.
And I also thought that Meredith said, I think she said, like, I don't want to leave the kids. I, for some reason, thought she said, I want to leave the kids.
Get about it.
And I was like, oh, like it was very confusing for me. Yeah.
And two, you know, I don't know. I think it's really hard as a viewer because like we don't see in past seasons as much of Meredith like grieving Derek. So it feels weird having him back and her wanting so badly to be with him because as viewers,
she's moved on.
She's moved forward. She's grown. She's like been in other relationships. And I'm not saying that you can't still feel like connected to someone you've lost. But I think that's kind of what it makes it a little unbelievable too, because we don't really hear about that anymore.
Yeah. I think about like looking at old scenes of them, like flashbacks. And to me, that has more of an emotional feeling than these newly created ones. Which like part of me is the beach was fun for a second, but it like continuing on like this feels like it's been around. I think we're done with it now though. Right. Like I'm pretty,
I hope so.
Yeah. I think that's the end, but like, I don't know. It just felt like when it was more of a mystery, it felt like something, but then it turned into this thing. I did agree with you. The missing the pain line was really good. And I love that he gives her permission to go, which is just the same thing that she did to him. Like to me, that was like good. He hasn't acted in a while. I feel like his voice is also different. Like, because it doesn't sound like the Derek of earlier. And so I don't know.
I think what's complicated too is I feel like so many of their scenes together were was like either arguing, there being like a lot of emotion behind it, like really like sensual loving or like fun banter. This whole season has lacked any banter or like any type of joy. There have been some really important storylines that I feel like they have told. So don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not discrediting that. But I feel like the writing is too specific and spot on. It's like...
Yeah, let's talk about this. Because you gave the comparison to SVU.
Yeah.
Which I relate to. Which, like, SVU has always reflected exactly what's happening, like, in the real world.
Yes.
And, like, even specific down to cases.
Yes.
And that's what we have come to expect. Grey's, while it has done some of that, And again, I feel like they didn't have a choice as much this season, but it feels like they put forward all of these like current day event things that are happening and forgot to also give us like
a plot.
Right.
Yeah. Like the plot is COVID. The plot is Black Lives Matter. The plot is, Meredith on a beach, you know, right. Like, and all of those things matter. I'm not like discrediting those. And they are important stories that need to be told, but like they need to be told in a way through our characters that I just don't feel, or like patients even that we care about. They don't, there haven't been any good patients or guest stars on.
Yeah. I wonder like, and when, although part of me is like, okay, when I try to play devil's advocate to that, like I do feel like the Teddy storyline has sort of been a thing, but it's...
But it is and it isn't. It's like an right. episode that they like fucked around with and then she was better after getting IV fluids.
You know? The solution to all.
You know?
And I am just so concerned that this is going to be the final season in the sense that, although maybe not, because I know that everyone else except Ellen so far has signed off on season 18 or something like that. But like, just the fact that they're even giving us Jackson April scenes coming up concerns me.
Right.
That like they're really tying, because there's no way now all these people will come back. Like this is the last time we're going to see George, you know, Mark, like all of them. So, but I almost would like a final Grey's Anatomy season without any people coming back and just with like our characters. Yeah. And surgery. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's so, I don't know. I feel like it's been a complicated season because all of these stories are so important. But like, I guess I'm going, what brought this up was like, even how Derek was delivering his lines on the beach about like Zola and stuff. I'm like, it sounds too scripted. Mm-hmm. Like there's no like funny one-liners or like Christina shoving hot dogs in her face at the lunch table, you know, like it doesn't feel like Grey's Anatomy.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I feel like we get glimpses of it in like, you know, like when Weber danced, there was like a moment of that or like, and also we don't have Alex anymore. And he was a good proponent of awkward humor, you know, like things. Honestly, this season reminds me of like the Alex ending storyline because it's like they, with what they had to make something.
Yes.
Like with Justin Chambers leaving, they had to make it work. And it feels like with COVID, they had to make it work.
Yes.
And while I will say that I feel like the storyline with Winston being pulled over felt incredibly powerful and emotional and almost on a similar level to like the sexual abuse storyline in the sense of where it, like I really felt it. It feels like there could be a different way to show that its importance without... It just feels so timely. Like it's just reflecting it and there's nothing like it's now we're not going to talk about it again. Like I feel like Joe going through that experience and then like helped shape her. Like I hope the stuff with Winston isn't just a one-off. If they're going to make that a storyline or with Jackson now in the protests, like I would like to see that carried on and then have that do something to him as a person and a character arc and not just have it be a one-off episode that's like, oh, look, we tackled this issue. Like, I want it to continue if they're going to do that.
That's, I think, the point where I don't feel like it feels like a plot.
Right.
It's like, and I think you're speaking to that. Like, yes, these are important things. Bring them into our characters. That's great. But, like, continue with that story.
I wonder if it'll change now that Meredith's awake.
Yeah, I'm not.
But also, COVID's not fucking gone.
Yeah, so I don't know. March.
Like, I don't think in the Grey's world, COVID can go away because it's not gone here. And we don't know what life looks like without it. And so I feel like Grey's can't. The problem with Grey's continuing is, like, how do they move past it when we don't actually know what that world looks like?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I'm trying to think about other shows that have implemented, like, COVID. Like, for instance, I think This Is Us has done a really good job.
I haven't watched this season yet.
Like, COVID is a part of it. Like, they wear masks, they talk about it and stuff, but there are other...
Things going on.
And even, like, importantly, like, Randall talks about what it was like being Black in an all-white family. Like, that's a big thing, a part of the storyline right now. But it all feels very true to their characters.
Right.
Where, like, Grey's Anatomy feels very SVU to me. Don't get me wrong. I love SVU. Yeah. But it's, like, very on the nose about things. And I just don't think Grey's has ever done that.
Right. So it feels a little bit jarring in a sense.
Yeah.
I know. And, like, I feel like we do have some good characters to work with. And I would like to see them, like, It's like they either, since we're nearing the end, they need to like quickly make all of our other characters way more dynamic, mm-hmm. like Levi, Nico, I can't think of anyone's name right now, but like they need to make them more dynamic and have more deeper storylines versus surface level, or they just need to put all their effort into the characters that we already have and love, like Weber, like Bailey, and you know.
Because think about it, like what's going on with Weber? Nothing. Like, he's with Catherine. Okay.
Right.
What's going on with Bailey?
Her mom died.
That was a great episode.
Actually, I was going to say, that was one story.
That was one of the episodes I thought was really, really well done. But, like, besides that, we haven't really talked about that.
And part of it is because Ben is on fucking Station 19, yeah. which I did not watch. Was he drowning?
Maybe. I don't know.
I
don't know.
So, to me, he looked like he was in a body of water when it ended. So.
I think, Catherine was saying something that it would look, like, wild the next episode. Okay. So, Bailey, nothing. Teddy, like, she has some mental health things, but, like, also nothing is going on with that. Mm-hmm. Meredith has been laying in a bed for a season, talking.
Joe is switching to OB, which, again, feels like a little thing.
But it feels like nothing.
But then let's see her... but it's, like, annoying. She has to go back to school. Like, I would like to just see her be, like, an Addison Shepherd, which is different, but...
That feels like a nothing.
Nico and Levi, I have notes on them in the sense that... Am I supposed to like Nico?
I don't like Nico.
He's super hot and I love his visual presence, but I don't feel like he brings, I don't even see as much chemistry between them. He asked him to move in with him, which at first I was like, he won't even give him a drawer. How rude.
Yeah.
But like, we don't see enough of them
together to be invested.
Right. Like, it's just these little moments.
Nico's barely on the show. So, like, when he does show up, he's kind of an ass. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, move in with me. I'm like, I don't understand what we're trying to do here.
Right. Like, we aren't seeing scenes of them at their house or at, you know, his mom's house. Like, we see other things. I also, like, Amelia's, like, trying to get back into surgery again. They have 1,000 children at their house.
Yes.
I do feel like Maggie and Winston is a good one.
Yes, I agree.
But
I'm happy they're getting married.
Right.
That's very exciting.
The proposal was nice. And I liked when Winston was talking to Meredith and he was like, you need to wake up because I'm marrying your sister.
Yeah.
Like, you need to whatever. Okay, I did like seeing Teddy give him that speech being like, we're going to do this and we're not going to second guess each other and we're going to like look over each other's work. Like, again, I was like, okay, a moment where we're doing surgery. This is exciting.
Yes.
Give me more of this.
I don't think this was this episode, but I will just bring it in because we haven't recapped it. I did like the scene where Amelia and Link were talking about marriage and Amelia talked about being an addict. Mm. And like, you know, I thought that was very interesting. And like him being like, I'm going to need you to not use. And like, you know, like... I thought that was good, but then, like, I don't know. I just, and maybe...
Is it because we're missing Meredith?
It could be. I think because she is the soul of the show. She just, even when we do see her on screen on the beach, I feel like she's not really Meredith.
No, she's like a different version. Yeah, you're right. I wonder, it really does feel like, because to me, all those other characters, while they're hashtag main characters, Meredith is the main character. And so she hasn't been able to like interact with any of them. Like, I'm pissed that I don't have an entire season of McWidow and her having... fucking tension. Like, that's what I want.
Yes, totally. Or like her being, you know, talking with Amelia about like fears about getting married or getting mm-hmm. married or you
like
know,
that sister there. Scene in the end of season 11.
Exactly.
Like,
why don't we have those scenes?
Yeah, I'm really hoping. I mean, there's definitely still some episodes left. And I think now that she's awake, I would really like to.
One of them's going to be dedicated to April and Jackson.
Next week or May 6th. Yeah,
I think that's like 2 weeks out.
Yep.
What did you think about Meredith waking up because of Zozo?
Felt a little convenient, but but I liked the line when she said we love you so much.
Yeah.
Because she was just with Derek. I thought that was really like a nice little GGB moment. Some kid actors just like, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good.
Did anyone like this? What were people saying on the Facebook group? I didn't see.
People were obsessed with the Derek Meredith moments. Let me see. Someone said in our group, I won't call names in case they don't want to be called out. Like someone said, Marge, would you please stop playing with that?
I might have to move my cat, everyone.
Like, these are the, I'll just talk for a second.
Okay.
These are the things that some people love. One of our listeners loved that, that Zola, oh, I did love when Zola suits up, which talks about when Zola goes like, mommy, it's Zozo, which I know that that's what they call her, but that annoys me. When Meredith finally woke up to Zola and Derek walks away on the beach alone, letting us hopefully assume that the beach storyline is over. Some other honorable mentions of tearjerker moments, but heartwarming, were when Meredith and Derek were talking about Derek's death. When Meredith asked Derek if he knew about her relationship with DeLuca. Oh, and I like, though, this listener of ours made the point that says, but if we get her with McWhiddle, we at least know she has Derek's blessing. Because Derek said she just doesn't want to see her lonely. Like, it hurts him more to see that. So,
yeah.
I think people just really liked the Derek Meredith ones. I think that some people were able to view it with less of a judgmental view of it. But I was also bored.
That's what I mean. Like, I watched it twice because it was like, fuck, I have to do a reaction podcast on this. I should have some things to say other than the last 90 seconds of the episode. And I still found myself like, oh, wait, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I knew what was going on, but like, not engaged. I didn't feel engaged or connected to anything that was going on.
I think, okay, of all the beach visitation moments of people, which one do you feel was the most successful and or like impactful to you? I have an answer, but I want to know yours.
Good question. I mean, I think it was very shocking seeing Derek the first time because we had no idea that he was coming back. So that was a big like holy shit moment. But I thought George was really great.
Me too. George to me felt like the most real. To me, I had problems with the Mark and
Lexi
one because Lexi was not a hologram, but there was just a weirdness about her, and it's because I think she physically wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I thought the George and Mare conversations were really impactful, and like it felt like real to them. And I loved that moment when Bailey and Chief were sitting there.
Yes.
That like felt really wonderful to me. I just wish that it stopped. Yeah. I would have liked to seen Ellis over Mark and Lexi, to be honest.
Or Doc.
Yeah, because I don't think, what if Doc was with Derek?
That would have been really sweet.
Oh, like when they walked away.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think that the Lexi and Mark one, like, I think it gave us closure. Like, oh, Lexi and Mark are together. But I assumed that.
But also, it didn't even, I feel like they didn't even really interact that much together. Because she was in LA
or she was in New York.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, oh.
And Mark and Meredith were never super close.
Yeah, so that felt like it would have been one thing to see like Mark and Derek together.
Right.
Like, I think that would have been really sweet to see.
Right.
I did also to like, I don't know that with DeLuca seeing Meredith, I don't think that was super impactful, but I did like when he walked away with his mom.
With his mom. Yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah.
I have a moment here where I don't know when Bailey is talking about this. Is it when she's talking to Joe? But she says, rest is not a dirty word. She says, rest is love. Rest is peace. Rest is a beautiful model for your children. Who is she saying that to?
Bailey?
Yeah.
God, I don't remember who
podcast ghost. But I really loved it because I have a problem with resting. I'm not very good at it. And I just like, I feel like Bailey also is similar. Like she
was that to Teddy?
I can't remember. I feel terrible that I can't remember this, but I just loved that quote. Rest is not a dirty word. Rest is love. Rest is peace. Rest is a beautiful model for your children. Oh, I just loved that. I appreciated, okay, so here's the good, I'll say some things I like. So remember when Teddy was having that breakdown, I liked the way that Owen was there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to make out with him and he was like, no, which I think that reminded.
He said, you need to feel it, which reminded me of Amelia.
Yes. And it reminded me of like Izzy and Alex way back in the day, season 4 finale when Alex tries to make out with Izzy when he's crying and she's just like, no. Like, I think, I don't know that Teddy and Owen will ever be romantically involved again, but to me, that's a real friend. Mm-hmm. It's like not being mad that you tried that, but just like being like, no, like don't run away from that. I also loved the scene with Maggie and Zola screaming it out together and just that whole conversation about like Zola being mad at like just her teachers and the world. And like, I love that she has Maggie, mm-hmm. especially like having a white mom. And like, you know, I love how she said like mom would be mad too. And like mm-hmm. would be marching and everything. What else?
I did love that scene as well. Oh, but not, no, but to that scene, yeah. just logistically, how big is this house?
Oh my God. There's so many rooms.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. Which house are they at?
They're at the original house.
Yeah, what room is Zola in?
I don't know. The attic? Did they redo the attic? It's, yeah,
I need a tour.
Yeah.
Owen was having a very hard time.
Oh my God, he kicked something, and I was like, oh, Owen being Owen.
Well, and when he couldn't tell that person that he was, like, crying, that they weren't mm-hmm. doing well, which, again, I think is just showing real-life situations that doctors are going through right now, yeah. having to make these calls. Why did I write mom was roller? Oh, that, the... woman who came in who was rollerblading, the brittle, she made the peanut butter brittle, I wrote TikTok because like I feel like rollerblading made TikTok made rollerblading huge again, kind of. So I liked that she was doing that.
Yeah. I mean, there are like, here's the thing, is there are moments in the episodes that I'm like, oh, that's lovely. That's right. nice. But right. like the overarching theme of this whole season, I have not enjoyed. There have been moments and there have been a few episodes that I've thought like, wow, like the Bailey episode was, I thought, a really beautifully done episode. I feel like the episodes before the break were better than these ones.
Yes. I feel that way too. I'm hoping when Meredith comes back, it gets better.
Yeah. So you want another season?
There is a part of me that just says end it now.
Yeah.
And give me like a really amazing finale. And it feels like, isn't the final season of Private Practice super fucking weird?
It's super weird.
Like, yeah. I've Sopranos too is a weird one. Like, I just feel like sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like Shameless just ended for like the whole show, and it ended in a season of COVID. So there were parts of it that were weird, but that didn't like stop it from happening, you know? And lots of people didn't like it, but I loved this. I thought the Shameless finale was really good. And there's a part of me that just, what would another year do?
Yeah. I just feel like we've really run out of story.
But I feel like the McWidow thing is not,
unless they have four, I would be fine. You know how I would love for it to fucking...
He's at a bar?
They're at the bar together. Like, yeah. How great would that be?
You're right, because we don't need to see their relationship.
No.
I think we just need to know as viewers that it's...
It could be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I wonder if Ellen Pompeo is feeling all of this and is just like...
She seems tired. Not just the fact that she's been laying in a bed for a season, but I mean, that's 17 seasons. Think of, like, all that she could do, like, because I know she's big into producing, right?
Right.
Like, that she could do, I don't know, I just, like, as a Grey's Anatomy fan, of course I would love it to keep going forever, and I'll be so sad when there aren't any more episodes, but I don't really know what else there is to do, especially with, like, COVID probably not going away anytime mm-hmm. soon. Like, I don't know how this show about a hospital is going to...
It's like they either needed to have made the choice that COVID wasn't happening mm-hmm. and they were still in the past.
Yeah.
Because they can't write the future without us knowing what that is.
Right. Exactly.
Other than like vaccines could start coming out.
Yeah.
But like in a hospital, that doesn't change it. COVID is still there.
Right.
The hospitals are going to be the last place where COVID doesn't show up. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so I don't know. I'm interested to see the Jackson April thing.
That was my next question.
I don't think that like romantically there's going to be anything. I hope not, because she can't leave Matthew again. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there can't. I just feel like it needs to be a moment where they're just there for each other. And like, it's this beautiful, like.
Also, why is she like 11 hours away?
I'll read again. This is a post from someone in our group who says, educated guess regarding the upcoming Jackson April episode. So we all know that Jackson got into an argument and he mentioned his father and he drove off to a destination that's 11 hours away. Jackson's father lives in Bozeman, Montana, which is 9 hours and 46 minutes away from Seattle. I suppose depending on traffic and where, it could be 11 hours. He's clearly rethinking what his priorities have been, especially with seeing how people are suffering during COVID Black Lives Matter movement. This is interesting to me. April and his father are listed as guest stars for the May 6 episode, and they're also both doctors who left their professions for their own personal reasons.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm thinking thinking he's going to both of them for advice on what his next move should be. Didn't Jackson mention Matthew earlier this season? I don't think Krista would have April leave Matthew for Jackson twice or blah, blah, blah. And if that's what ends up happening, that's lazy writing. I think that's a good point. I think I wouldn't be surprised if maybe, that's why I think it's the end of the fucking show. Like if he like wants to do something else and he's going to the two people he knows that like
chose to do something else. Mm-hmm. He's moving away from plastics.
And right.
Because he's having that feeling. I thought that was great showing too. He's like buying the hotel rooms for people,
right,
thinking he's doing a good thing.
And then learning that it's not.
It's not helpful. So I don't know. Maybe he goes into like some type of
activism or something.
Yeah, nonprofit.
With all of his fucking money that he has.
Yeah, like nonprofit.
That would be cool.
Work or something.
It's too bad he can't do that and do plastic. So it's like, you went to school for that. You're very good at it. Like, can you do both?
But maybe he'll do more of like what Catherine Avery does.
Yeah.
Also too, because he kind of called his mom out about shit. I don't know if that was this episode or two episodes ago. I think it was two episodes ago. And
she said that thing about how like, you don't know what we did to get here.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of shitty of him to be like, why didn't you do this for me, mom? And she's like, you don't know what I've done. So,
right. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Here are my final thoughts.
Okay.
The things I would like to see happen. I would like to Owen to make a choice. Is he going to love Teddy or not?
That's, I would also like to see that.
I need finality in that triangle. Would love to see a Winston.
Wait, but I have a question.
Yes.
Do you want them to be together or not? Or do you not really care? You just need an answer.
I don't think I really care.
Okay.
I think I could see it going as friends, or I could see them being romantically involved, but the show would have to end because I cannot handle more drama with them. I would really like to see Maggie and Winston have an actual wedding, like some sort of, or a COVID wedding, something. I feel like with Amelia and Link, they're not quite ready for marriage yet, but like some sort of like a post-it type of commitment where it's like they commit to each other, but they maybe don't have like a wedding celebration.
Okay.
And Meredith, obviously I want her to get better, and I just want her to like just have a more central role, and like, I don't know, just be herself again. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, I think those are all great things to wish for. I want Bailey to have a couple one-liners. No, I want some Bailey teaching moments that are funny.
I miss her.
I want them to be in a cafeteria again.
I want Richard to retire.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
He really must be tired.
He's so tired. But maybe he goes part-time.
That would be lovely.
He can, like, I don't know, garden on the side and then just do a couple surgeries here and there.
Yeah, that would be lovely. That's what I want.
Do you have any other thoughts?
I don't either.
Okay, what do you rate it?
It's hard because I feel like because they brought Derek back and there are these things, it has to be kind of high, but I'm just going to give it a 7.5.
A 7.5. Okay.
Maybe I'll feel differently someday.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to give it like a 6.
Ooh.
I was super bored. That one line of Derek and that last little bit, I give like a 7.25. But like,
all right.
Other than that, I was like really not feeling it this week.
If you were feeling it, listeners, let us know.
Yeah.
Because my mind could be changed about some things, but.
Well, we're so grateful to all of you. Don't forget to become a patron, leave a review, listen to season 1. Oh, before we go, I just want to let you know that the other night I was like kind of having, I don't know, maybe I went out or something, and I came home and John went to bed and I was like, I don't know what to do. And so I put in my headphones and I listened to like old episodes, like, but just like little moments of them. And I was laughing so hard. And I was like, we are funny, but I don't think we are anymore. But back in the day, we were funny. We were really funny. So
This needs to wrap up.
Yeah. Like we're running out of content here.
But thanks for sticking with us and for letting us take a few weeks off. Again, just know that like your Patreon support, it is still supporting the costs and things that go involved in time that it takes to put out a podcast. So while I know we didn't deliver weekly ones, we deeply appreciate it. And at any time you can pause your Patreon, there are no hard feelings. So just know that. And hopefully we'll be back to, you know, things once life slows down a little bit.
We'll probably not have an episode next week because Grey's Anatomy is not coming out this week. So
it's not. So May 6th is the next one.
Yeah. So there we'll be putting out a reaction one to that episode.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Do you want to call Time of Death?
Sure. One moment, please. Okay, time of death is 1949.
Beep. Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.